Hey there, I'm your host, Justin Owens, and this is the Can't Stop Moving podcast, a deep dive into the life, experiences, and businesses of my very own grandfather, Gary Owens. Each episode, we discuss a different segment of his life or a particular business. He was doing so many different things at the same time, it was really difficult to go in chronological order. So you'll discover quickly that we go off on tangents and down random rabbit holes, but bear with us as I figure out how to interview someone I've known my entire life and attempt to tease out stories I've heard for the better part of 30 years.
You're really glossing over a lot of stuff that other people put their heart and soul into. And
Maripede beef.
Maripede beef, Great Plains beef. And, people had a lot of hard work into growing the breed. I mean, there was Nipa, there was Paws. Like, there's a lot of stuff you're just like, here.
Yeah.
And you're jumping from like 1989, 1990 to 2010. Like, the whole, you're skipping the history of the breed, and you're saying the breed exists because of Lone Creek.
No, they can't.
The beef label is certainly in a good position because of Lone Creek now. But the breed is around because of the breeders.
Yeah, the Amish in Ohio and Pennsylvania jumped on it. And so there was a lot of growing through the years before it got popular enough for Lone Creek to stumble in and get involved in it. There was a Maripede beef group. There was a Texas group.
So over the 10 years, over the 90s, What were you doing with the breed? Like, you went up, you were doing embryos, you brought truckloads of bulls down.
I'm selling them at cost in Oklahoma. I sent my cousin LD 25 bulls. Mm-hmm. And he in the fall, in that winter, big snow in Oklahoma. And he's at Buffalo, Oklahoma. And he had them out in the pasture, and during the night it snowed a foot. And so the next day, before noon, there's cars lined up along the highway, a whole bunch of them. And they're watching these Piedmontese bulls get out on their knees and swing their head back and forth to clear the snow out so they could get to the grass. Like buffalo do, like a full-blood buffalo.
Huh.
And it was quite an attraction. In the middle of cattle country, that's real cattle country.
So who were you selling cattle to? Or were you doing beef? I mean, what were you doing with the calves that you were raising?
I was transferring embryos and selling the full-bloods. I wasn't raising half blood. I was raising full blood.
So, how old were you selling them? Were they like weaned, or were they 2 year old?
I sold a lot of them when they were weaned. Most of them.
Where'd you sell them to?
Oh, just all over. Yeah, people from Springdale, Reardon. I forget all over. I got a journal of each one I raised, who I sold it to. Oklahoma came up. Mm-hmm. The attorneys for Oklahoma University of Oklahoma at Norman, they came up with a trailer to look at them. They brought a trailer along just in case. They filled their trailer and took it home.
Wow.
Fred Gibson was the attorney for OU. He's the one that came up.
Not bad. Wasn't there an outfit in Texas that got involved? They had been in Arabian horses.
Oh.
And somehow, how did they even find Piedmontese?
they heard about him, and so, and it was originally the Cullen family, and Mr. Marshall from Canada married a Cullen daughter, and he had Glenlock Farms in Texas by San Antonio. I forget the name of the little town. And so he gets interested, and he talks to me on the phone, and he said, I'm going to send my man up there to look at him. So the guy comes in. Forget that guy's name. He's a farm manager. He and his wife come up, and in 10 minutes, they said, we'll buy everyone you got. I said, I can't sell them because I'd have nothing to sell to raise, get eggs from. And so he bought a whole bunch. I kept enough flush now. And he took them down to Texas. And they said, when they got them down there, they said, you go back and you lease Gary Owens' herd. You get every one of these things down here. We want them. And we'll flush them. We'll raise the babies, and when they're weaned, he can come in and pick. We'll pick one, and he can pick one back and forth. It won't cost him anything. He haul them home, and we'll pay all the expenses. So I send them down there, and I'll be doggone. Mr. Marshall ups and dies. A guy named Scotty Arbuckle called and said, get these cattle out of here. Well, first of all, there were 66 cows with embryos in them. Mm-hmm. And this Scotty comes in and sells them at the yards.
What?
Sells, I own half of them. Uh-huh. He sells them at the yards. We didn't get a nickel. And so then he denied that I had a deal with Mr. Marshall. Well, I had some a paper where he instructed his farm manager to buy the herd.
And to lease them, or?
Yeah, get them.
So there was proof that there was an agreement.
Right, it was handwritten, mm-hmm, by Mr. Marshall. So then Mr. Marshall's son took over, and he was a manic depressive, and so it was a little sketchy there, but he and I got along real good. And I'll be doggone, we're going like, things are going good again, and he dies.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. And so his kid takes over. His kid's in law school in New York. He's a vegetarian.
Oh, that's great for them, to be a cattle rancher.
Yeah, it was 90 days, and there, and so they called up and said, well, they sold those 60 cows with embryos, got rid of them, and so they called and somebody, a farm manager or somebody called me and said, you need to get your cattle out of here. This guy's getting rid of every cow on the farm, and they're going to raise pecans. And so I sent in semis and brought my herd home.
Wow.
Lucky to get them. It's amazing.
Did you ever get compensated for the 60 that they did sell?
No, I could have sued them, but I don't like suing. I don't sue people.
So working forward in time, in the 90s, when did you become a member of the Piedmontese Association for the U.S.? The long and short of it is you didn't really like the association, so you...
I forgot about that. I formed a new association.
Yeah.
Piedmontese Association in the United States was a breed official registry, so, and I was a member of them. And it was controlled by a lady. And so things were going wrong. $60,000 is missing. And so I'm on the board of directors, newly on it. And I said, this is a load of crock here. I told the board, I'm going home. I'm going to form an association. They said, you are? I said, yeah. So I go home. There's 240 members. So I form North American Piedmontese Association. In a year, I had 220 members of the 240. Yeah, and I'm producing a magazine. I took it over. Formed a registry. Left their registry. Oh, things went to hell for the pause. And it went so bad, they were changing people. Mary Jo McCormick was running it. Her husband, Dick McCormick, had an office at Denver Livestock. And Mary Jo died, and her daughter took over, and 3-4 months later, she died. So we're sitting there. And then Dick died. I mean, all three of them died. And they weren't that old. And so they hire a part Indian gal to run it. And that went south. And so that's when I told them I'm going to form NAPA because we couldn't register cattle. We were a breed that couldn't register cattle. So I thought, I need a good registry above reproach. I hired Vicki Wignes Johnson later, Vicki Johnson, in Saskatchewan, and she's sitting up there in a snowbank by a, I forget the name of the town, 40 miles from a little town, and it's up, anyway, up in Saskatchewan. I hired her to run, be the executive director of the association. And we formed it, and 220 people come in, and
well, and you recorded recruited a board of directors, and
yeah, I was the only member for a little while until I got organized. Had Al Rubens to handle it for me here in Spokane. Hires Vicki. We call up the Canadian. I think I need a really good registry that's above reproach, the best. The Canadian government runs a Canadian registry for cattle. And we got them to handle our registration. So all of a sudden, we got probably the best association registry in the world. We register our cattle.
And, I mean, CLRC runs other breeds associations.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's ran by the government. I mean, it's absolute. There's no monkey business.
Yeah. Well, and yours was kind of unique because membership in the registry for an animal was predicated on having two copies of the myostatin gene or one copy of the myostatin gene to be recorded.
Yeah. So I selected Stormont Labs out of California, and I called them up and told them what my deal was, and so they said, well, everybody's got to start somewhere. Let's draw up a contract. So we drew this contract up. I had Al check it over. I signed a deal with Stormont Labs. Did the blood typing. No DNA at that point, blood typing. Mm-hmm. So the old association had the blood typing. Anyway, all that blood got thrown away. Mm-hmm. Pause, the old outfit didn't pay the bill, and they dumped it. They just said, dump it. They're not going to pay the bill. So we started with nothing. Mm-hmm. When I hired them to do our registry, DNA came in, and it was absolute. Way better than just blood typing.
Mm-hmm. I remember some stories about hauling bulls to Montana somewhere. Huge ranch. And they turned in like... How many bulls did they turn in together? It was just truckload after truckload.
225.
225
bulls.
It was
the biggest bullfight I've ever seen in my life.
Why would they do that?
I don't know. Kevin Brewer, he has 285,000 acres north of Billings, about an hour. He decides he's going to go into Piedmontese. So... a guy named Mark Bailey buying them up for him, and they get a hold of the Amish in Ohio, Wayne
Schlabaugh,
John Link, forget the other people's names.
Anyway, Shetler.
Huh?
Well, Wayne? No.
Wayne Schlabaugh,
well, John Link. Dylan.
Dylan Shetler.
Yeah.
Gary Shetler's his dad.
Yeah.
So all these guys are in Ohio and Pennsylvania, and they're Amish. Mm-hmm.
Where are you going?
Kevin bought all their bulls.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went in some way. I rode in a semi into Billings with a load of bulls from someplace. They bought all these bulls, and Kevin threw them in one big pasture. There were 10 bullfights going on all the time. Jeez. Bulls getting injured. I had sold him 25. Our bulls were tame.
Did your bulls get turned out with them?
Yeah.
Jeez. Did you think I want to load them up and take them home?
Well, one of them got gored behind the right front leg, and the leg went sideways. He got that much width between his leg, his shoulder, and his body. So Kevin said, "This bull's deformed." And so I went over and got the bull, took it home, put it in a vet stock, punctured it, and out come 5, 6, 7 gallon of pus.
Oh, my gosh.
And the leg went back in the body. Got him all cleaned up, sent him back to Billings.
Wow. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it was. So Kevin, he's big time, 3,500 mother cows. And so when the label sold to, I forget who bought the label.
Was Ameripede the last one to have it before it was purchased by Lone Creek?
Yeah. And when Lone Creek took over.
Or was it? Was there a Great Plains beef?
Yeah, that was owned by Kevin, I think. They got it from Kevin.
Okay.
And so when Lone Creek took over, mm-hmm. Kevin was sending them one copy calves to butcher. Mm-hmm. They tested every one of them. Half of them didn't have one copy.
So they rejected him and sent him back?
They cut him off and do it. They realized he wasn't straight with him, so they shut him off. And I haven't heard from Kevin what happened, but they're paying like $180 premium for every calf they butcher.
Back then, yeah, at different times.
Yeah, 120 yeah. to 180.
I mean, so through the 90s, you took cattle to a lot of shows, right?
At the start of it, yeah. We showed in Denver and
there were a lot of, I
Billings.
Mean, I remember stories where there were just hundreds of peds at the cattle shows. And they had to, like, break them down into more minute divisions for showing against mm-hmm. because there were so many.
Mm. In a class, they'd have to split it. Mm-hmm. So we did real well in showing cattle. But it cost about 10 grand every time you went to a cattle show. So I quit doing it because we didn't need to. We had the best cattle. We'd bought the best. We had the best reputation. So we could sell them when they're weaned. We didn't need to advertise.
Well, and you went and you created a video for the breed.
Yeah.
For promotion.
Yeah, and pamphlets.
It's funny. Like, I remember stories about how those videos would get passed around from ranch to ranch, and it'd go from, you know, Texas to Oklahoma to Colorado to wherever.
Fred Gibson, and the attorney for OU, he traced it back. The one he got, mm-hmm. he was the seventh person that had that video.
Wow. Now, did any videos make it down to Mexico? Because this was kind of a cool story where 5-6 years ago, you and I went to the Denver Stock Show, the National Western Stock Show in Denver. And the founder of the Mexican, I think it's like the Mexican-Italian Breed Association, because they have Chianina and Piedmontese and like a few of the others all under one umbrella. But he and his son and grandson, maybe, came up to Denver, and he had originally gotten into Piedmontese by writing you a letter. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that?
Yeah. I got him started. And I sent him, one of the bulls I sent to him, he gave to the president of Mexico as a gift. And that bull was in front of the capital of Mexico, in Mexico City.
Like in the city?
In front of the palace.
Where the president of Mexico lives while he's in office? Really?
Yeah, and Glenlock Farms is the one. I sold it to Glenlock, and Glenlock sent it to him as a gift. I remember that now.
Wow.
To the president of Mexico. So some way the people that come to Denver were associated with that bull some way of maybe getting it to the president. I don't know how it worked. My memory is not so good anymore.
Well, you're doing pretty great.
I remember at Denver, they came up to me and identified themselves saying that they were the one to handle the deal for me, or to get it to the president.
It's pretty cool. So what, do you want to talk about getting out of the peds, taking a break, getting back into them, or you happy with what we've talked about?
Yeah, it's hard for me to remember all that stuff, so I've done the best I could.
Sure.
In remembering.
To continue this conversation between Justin and his grandfather Gary, tune in to episode 18 of Can't Stop Moving.
Don't forget to like, subscribe, and download so you don't miss a single episode. You can find Can't Stop Moving Podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts. Visit us at owensfarms.com and interact with us on Instagram at modernfarmerusa. Thank you.